Welcome to the Jevis Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
Welcome, Intelligentsia, to another episode of the Jevis Brief.
All stations, this is Crystal Palace. Stand by for a message from Brass Sack.
That's right, stand by for a message. All right, hey, thanks for joining me tonight. One thing I want to say is I have to apologize last week. And I hate when I have to do this. I had to upgrade. Had to. On the video. The video recorder. As a result, I didn't even realize that, yes, it recorded the image. If you pressed on the video to watch last week's episode. And I was not on there. You could see the lips moving, but nothing could be heard. All right, I apologize for that. It's been fixed, as you can tell. If you're watching this, you're good. All right. All right, where do we start? All right, first things first. Listeners around the world, thanks for tuning in. Listeners in the Netherlands, Canada, Russia, that's right, even Russia, Belgium, Greece, Italy, New Zealand, and yes, Romania. Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening. Tell your family and friends that you found somebody that's actually giving you some information you can use. What you do with it, of course, that's... where else have we got? Did I say Canada? Yes, Canada is in there as well. Welcome our neighbors to the north. You guys have got a fight on your hands like we do here. When it comes to dealing with... You know, I hate to use the word liberals, because liberals generally would equate to liberty, which is the antithesis of what the American left is. They want the government to make all the decisions for you, how to live your life, what to think, what to say. And, of course, they have the help of the mainstream media, which, by the way, I just want to point out for those that are around the world, and don't forget our listeners in Italy as well, is this. The FBI show that more unarmed white people are shot and killed by the police than black people. But have you ever seen a news story on the mainstream media, whether it be the national news or your local news, that screams about the police shot an unarmed white man? I haven't. I've never seen that story. All we ever see are those people stoking the fires. Oh, another black man's been shot. Right, look, I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong that these people have been shot. What I'm saying is that you got the mainstream media stoking the fires of racial division so they can get their story out. Think about it. That's all I'm saying. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'll be the first to admit I'm wrong. I've admitted I've been wrong many times. But I don't think I'm wrong now. For you preppers out there, a little story for you coming up from CNS News. And you're probably thinking, John, what has this got to do with prepping? Well, I'll tell you. What is this crap? I hate this. I hate this. Get out of here. Get out of here. Don't care. All right. Crap pops up. Oh, you got this many emails. Don't care. I'll get to them when I get to them. Now, if you want to follow some of the postings I've put on, I'm on four. Count them: 1, 2, 3, 4. Four social media platforms. Life.us. Oh no, it's USA.life. USA.life, Parler.com, MeWe.com, and Mumblet.com. Pick 'em. I'm there. Contra Radio Network. Can't miss me. And you'll see some of the stuff I'm talking about if you want to get more information about it. Pat Buchanan wrote this. And he talks about Is war with China becoming inevitable? The Indians are seeing 60,000 Chinese soldiers on their northern border. Secretary of State Michael Pompeo ominously warned last Friday. He spelled out what he meant to commentator Larry O'Connor. Quote, he says, "The Chinese have now begun to amass huge forces against India in the north. They absolutely need the United States to be their ally and partner in this fight." Pompeo had just returned from Tokyo, gathering of foreign ministers from the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue, or the Quad, the group of four democracies, U.S., Japan, Australia, India, whose purpose is to discuss major Indo-Pacific geostrategic issues. The reason I didn't mention New Zealand is that some time ago, if you remember, New Zealand forbid any nuclear weapons entering their territory, whether it be on U.S. Navy ships or whatever. So their punishment from the other quads, if you want to put it that way, was that they were going to cut out New Zealand. They're going to cut them out of the intel loop. And that's the way it is now. Now you're probably saying, why is India and China fighting? Well, they've been, Tibet is a major sore spot for China. India has been, shall we say, sheltering Tibetan refugees and the Dalai Lama himself. What you have to understand is that India and China are going probably to fight over who will be the superpower in Asia. Yes, India is part of Asia. So, it presents, I shouldn't say it presents a problem, it shouldn't. While China is busy modernizing everything they can, India, being a democracy that it is, does have some issues in terms of, you know, their population. Some of them are starving, going hungry. Has democracy worked out that well for them? I don't know. That's not for me to say. I don't know enough about that. What I do know is that American companies are shoving all kinds of money into China. China is not a democracy. It's run by the Communist Party. It's an authoritarian regime. So, eventually, those two will fight. And I think the winner coming out of this, really, could be Japan. Just my ideas, my thoughts here. So exactly what kind of ally and partner the U.S. is to be in the fight between India and China over disputed terrain in the Himalayan mountains was left unexplained. We have no vital interest in where the line of control between the most populous nations on Earth should lie that would justify U.S. military involvement with a world power like China. Let me diverge here, mission creep, if you will. Perhaps it's time for the U.S. to withdraw its security umbrella. If we don't have an interest, a vital interest, in a particular region of the country, if they want to go to war, let them go to war. Too many countries have lived under the security umbrella of the United States. It's time to pull that umbrella back and say, okay, if you want to go to war, you go to war, but we're not coming to help anybody. Maybe it's time we start worrying about ourselves first. And stop worrying about trying to, you know, sow the seeds of American democracy around the planet. If they want democracy, let those people in those countries that want democracy go get it. And if you want it, if India and China want to fight, let them fight. What vital interest do we have? Economically, you can make that argument. But it's just an idea I'm having, and that's, you know, should we be trying to sow the seeds of American democracy around the planet? Most of them don't like us anyways, for whatever reason. Let's keep our money here. I'm just saying, something to think about here. For you preppers out there, you know what I'm talking about. So, let's get back to it. And the idea that Japan, whose territorial quarrel with China is over the tiny Senkaku Islands in the East China Sea, thousands of miles away, would take sides in a Himalayan-India-China conflict also seems ludicrous. Yet tensions are rising between the U.S. and China as the list of ideological, political, and economic clashes continues to lengthen. And there is a transparent new reality. China seems in no mood to back down. Look, if I was Chinese, I wouldn't back down either. When, after a year of demonstrations for greater democracy, the Hong Kong government failed to quell the uprising, Beijing stepped in and took control. The U.S.-led democracies that had been cheering on the Hong Kong marchers and protesters did nothing. And they have done nothing since the reverse of Xi Jinping's political coup, but prattle on about values. Lately, democracies have been protesting, and rightly so, the inhumane treatment of the Uyghur peoples in Xinjiang in China's west. Han Chinese have been moved into the region to swamp the local population of Turkic and Muslim Uyghurs and Kazakhs and bring about the demographic change Beijing desires. Re-education camps have been established to cleanse the Uyghurs of their ethnic and religious identities and convert them into loyal and reliable Chinese communists. In a speech in late September, Xi declared that Beijing's policy of eradicating the ethnic and religious identity of minorities of the Xinjiang through the state-driven education has proven totally correct. He vowed to imprint a Chinese identity deep in the soul of the peoples living there. Our national minority work has been a success, said Xi, and it must be held for the long term. Now, Xi makes no apology for, indeed he is proud of, using state power to impose the state ideology upon the peoples he rules, and he openly repudiates our democratic values as inapplicable in his country. Excuse me. Our rejection of China's claims to virtually all of the reefs and atolls in the South China Sea is being ignored. Beijing's warnings grow louder and more pointed as the U.S. continues to send warships, the latest being the USS John McCain, close to the islets claimed by China. What is our strategy here? Are we prepared for a naval and air clash in these waters? And what would be the U.S. strategic goal? The Chinese are now responding angrily and defiantly to what they see as the provocations of sending high-level U.S. officials and selling new weapons to Taiwan, which China regards as its lost province. Again, what is our purpose in playing the Taiwan card now? Is it to provoke a fight? Then are we prepared for a war in the Taiwan Strait or the South China Sea? Do we think the Chinese will capitulate? Is this being to stand up to China before November 3rd? Which is the party here that is engaged in bluster and bluff, and which is the party that seems deadly serious as it views its vital interest and territorial rights as challenged? Now, there has been talk of the Quad evolving into an Asian NATO that embraces the major democracies of the Indo-Pacific theater. But the essence of NATO is Article 5, where the U.S. commits itself to treat an attack on any one of some 30 nations as an attack on the U.S. Is there anything like this in the cards? And here's something I want you to think about here. Let's say one of those 30 nations wants to put one of its military bases, say, in California. Do you think the United States would let it? I don't think so. But yet, we have our bases, our military bases, in a bunch of other countries. Something to think about. Now, Australia, Japan, and the U.S. are not going to war with China over its border with India, or its ethnic concentration camps in Xinjiang, or it's seizing Hong Kong and the atolls in the South China Sea. When this election is over, this country has to think through what we are and are not willing to fight China for. Xi Jinping dismisses our concerns over Hong Kong and the Uyghurs, and he appears willing to fight for Taiwan and for what Beijing holds in the South China Sea, rather than see it permanently lost. Are we? It's a question. As preppers, yes, we live in a nightmare world of dystopia. And this could be very one of the, shall we say, one of the things that maybe we have to look at and plan for. What is the outcome of a U.S.-China war? I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to production, and granted, a lot of the crap that China makes is just that, crap. But they have a far larger labor pool than we do in the United States. Our technology that we have, that our military employs, is vulnerable. A lot of the Chinese military doesn't have this kind of technology that we do. Hence, it's not going to be as vulnerable. And yes, they outman us in the military 10 to 1. 10 to 1. We have one soldier, and they have 10 soldiers for every one of ours. And they have a massive man pool in which to pull from if they need replacements. Not so much here in the United States. And the American left would probably welcome a war with China. They would probably welcome Chinese invaders to our shores. After all, communist here is a communist anywhere else. Just saying. Something to think about, my friends. That's all I wanted to say about that. All right, I'm going a little long here. Let me get back to you on this break. We'll be right back with our second segment.
Tired of getting censored on social media? Are you noticing less traffic to your business page or profile? Solve it by joining mumbleit.com today and experience true free speech social media. Join for free at www.mumbleit.com. Experience real freedom today.
Life is unpredictable, but you can count on Valley Food Storage to help you and your family prepare. With clean, natural, great-tasting, and long-lasting food storage, with our natural and nutritious freeze-dried food, you'll be storing the food you love to eat. Log on to ContraRadioNetwork.com and click on the Valley Food Storage banner.
This is the Contra Radio Network, CRN for all the right reasons.
Back, segment two. Plus the left-wing radicals. Left-wing radicals have decided to post online their guide to disrupting the country if the election is close. And you know they're going to. I already talked to you about it 2 or 3 weeks ago. Check it out, the episode there. What we need to know is this. An organization of radical left-wing activists has posted an online guide to disruption that outlines a plan to shut down the country and force President Donald Trump from power in the event that the 2020 election is too close to call. The guide, called Stopping the Coup, available as a Google Doc, is being circulated by a group called Shutdown DC. It cast its plans for disruption as a response to an imagined coup by the president in the case of the close election. In an email promoting the guide, Shutdown DC declares preventing Donald Trump from stealing the election and remaining in office is likely to take mass, sustained, disruptive movements all over the country. The guide is a manual to that disruption. Parts of the guide are committed to ensuring a fair election. Parts of it, however, read like a manual for staging a coup rather than a guide to preventing one. So in the context of a coup or highly contested election, we need to be clear, this is from their guide, we need to be clear that our actions must directly affect the structures and pillars of power. Our largest asset in this regard utilizes the ideas of non-compliance through massive, broad-based direct action. Where we can, we need to be in the streets, on the highways, or at the sites of the power and power holders. In our jobs and lives, we must refuse to allow those taking control the legitimacy of the power they seek through strikes, slowdowns, boycotts, and public refusal to accept an illegitimate ruling party. Now, another section urges activists to stop American life from continuing if the election does not go their way. Now, this is their emphasis. In order to really win, we will need to enforce some pillars of power, business, military, media, or other major institutions, to decide to side with the people, or at least get out of the way. If everyday life goes on, a despot will not leave power, and so there will be no incentive for real systems change. You want to think about what it might take to stop business as usual. Now, the guide also says that activists plan on physically protecting the vote from counter-protesters, federal agents, or white supremacist militias. Their words, not mine. The guide indicates that activists intend to demand that no winner be announced until every vote is counted, and they will launch mass coordinated action to that end. The signal for action will be if President Donald Trump is declared the winner on election night. They say Trump may try to declare himself the victor before the votes are counted, or Fox News might call the race. Those who can should be prepared to take action against those who are feeding into the stolen election narrative, including social media companies that are letting falsehoods or incitements to violence spread. Now, the guide imagines a number of bizarre nightmare scenarios, such as Attorney General William Barr trying to seize all mail-in ballots and invalidate them, and uses them to motivate readers and justify plans for direct action. One section says that in the case of a contested election, we must take action. They say in the end, the actual electorate might be split, half truly believing that Trump was elected legally and half knowing that he was not. Now, if you look at the wording there, half truly believing and the other half knowing. Now, it is in this muddy context of legal and political wrangling that we must take action. We cannot wait to see how the chips fall. That will only ensure more power for the violent white supremacist machine that is the Trump administration and its supporters. We want to be clear here, though. We are not a group of Biden supporters. Yeah, right. This is not about ensuring that the Democrats win, but actually preparing for the possibility that white supremacist violence will continue. It seems to me the only violence being committed is on the American left. Am I nuts? So the guide also suggests that activists will continue their disruption regardless of who wins the election. We're absolutely not saying the election is useless, but rather the reactivity of the right and the white supremacists will be present no matter who wins. The guide also links to a variety of other documents, such as one devoted to preparing for the threat of violence and another that lists allied organizations. All the documents seem to benefit from professional level skills in writing, layout, and design. The document appears to be the product of a group called the Disruption Project, whose website describes itself as dedicated to supporting uprisings, resistance, and mass direct action. It suggests a revolution in the United States, nonviolently. All right. They say, our belief is that when mass numbers of people stand up and take action against the unjust systems of racial capitalism, the heteropatriarchy, and white supremacy, and settler colonialism, we have the ability to force ruptures and dismantle these systems. In other countries, you have seen uprisings nonviolently topple dictatorships and illegitimate governments. Shutdown DC's website indicates it expects Trump to be forced from office, adding, we are not seeking a return to normalcy because we know that return to normal means returning to a system that was built on oppression. Rather, we see this as a time to rise up against the current crisis and move forward to dismantle the interlocking systems of oppression that have plagued this land for centuries. The website is somewhat evasive on the topic of violent tactics. It says, "We do not want to reproduce the same violences we are committed to dismantling. Thus, we are committed to anti-oppressive principles, transformative justice, and sustainable organizing." However, it also says it will not make value judgments about the tactical approaches other people and organizations may choose to embrace. There you go. They are telegraphing what they are going to do on election night. They're telegraphing it. As a prepper and a patriot, what are you going to do? If it comes to fruition, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit at home and go to work the next day? I don't know. I know what I'm doing. And believe it or not, I've actually got a female, mind you, who says, you know, I'll go with you. I'm not talking about my wife either. I will head to Washington, D.C. I will hit the streets. Do what has to be done. I suggest that you start making plans. If this goes the way I think it's going to go, we'll need every patriot out there. Every American who loves the Constitution the way it is, not the way they want it to be. Be prepared. Get ready now. 2 weeks. Oh, 3 weeks. My mistake. 3 weeks before it all comes. What are you going to do? What are you willing to do? It's up to you. Make the call. I made my call. All right, we'll be right back after this.
Are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system. And get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clear, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And like me, you'll be glad you did.
At Stag Arms, there is no weak side. Our rifles are 100% American made, including each and every part assembled. We aim to provide recreational shooters, law enforcement officers, hunters, and professional shooters with super quality and competitively priced rifles. Every rifle shipped is built to order. Check out Stag Arms now. Log on to ContraRadioNetwork.com and click on the Stag Arms banner. Yes, you are. You're being conned, all right. You're being conned by the leftist.
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? All right. Let's get back to it. I've been on my soapbox too much tonight, it looks like. Oh, what do we got? No, we don't want. What is this crap? All right. Oh, well. That's done. All right. Well, you know what? I think we're almost at the end of the show anyways. But I wanted to say, look, if you want to make some easy money, you want to join us in making money, please do. Go to www.earn.contraradio.com. I mean, how hard do you want to work for money? I'm not saying you're going to get rich. Make a few extra bucks here and there. That's what I'm saying. Join us if you want to. And let's see, we're in phase two of the monetization process for Contra Radio Network. We're asking you to, inviting you to join us. That's what we're doing. All right, what do you do or not? And by the way, you can do this anywhere in the world. That's the beauty of it. Anywhere in the planet, you want to do it, you can do it. All right, of course, you know about what you're not hearing from the media, and they're not going to talk about it anyways, is the fact that apparently Hunter Biden's laptop has been in the possession of the FBI since December 2019, and we're just now learning about it. What was going on in December of 2019? Do you remember? That's right. The impeachment, the bogus impeachment of President Trump. And now that we see what the president's been saying all along is true. And it's amazing that the FBI has sat on this laptop when it could have been used as exculpatory evidence for the president. I'm of the opinion that the FBI and Department of Justice, not the rank and file, the leaders, are corrupt and need to go. Director Ray, needs to be the first fired. He should have been fired months ago. He's useless, and he's doing everything he can to obstruct the president and his orders. I would say that for the same for this head of the CIA. She has been slow walking. The swamp has been slow walking everything, defying everything, defying the fact that he said declassify it and release everything, no redactions. And yet now they're saying, oh, but we need a written order for it. Okay. He should say that. I hope he's sitting at his desk right now, writing out the order, and gives him 24 hours to release everything, unredacted. My guess is the swamp will come up with another reason to delay and slow walk it. But that's my opinion. In the meantime, as we talked about last week, grocery stores are starting to prep themselves, starting to increase their inventories because, let's face it, there's going to be shortages this winter. You still have time to prep. You still have time to stock up. Here's something that I think you might want to consider for your preps. If you don't already have it, you might want to consider it. Here's an item that I overlooked, but I have not since. Antifungal spray, like athlete's foot, jock itch, whatever. You should get some of that. Put it in your supply preps. If you ever had athlete's foot, it's maddening. Trust me, I've had it. It's maddening. But regardless, just an idea. I'm not saying go out and buy a case of toilet paper. What I'm saying is you should have some extra on hand. We talked about buying those big cans of vegetables you see, you know, those big number 10 cans. We talked about that. Open it up. Freeze it. Divide up the can. Put it in Ziploc bags, freeze it. Rice and pasta. I don't know why, but some reason Rice is hard to find, so do the next best thing. Rice-a-roni is $1 a box. You get rice and pasta. Who knew? Just ideas for you to think about. Think outside the box. Think about it. And if you'd like to do a show here on Contra Radio Network, please get a hold of me. ContraRadio@live.com, ContraRadio@live.com. Send me an email. We'll get back to you. We'll have it, okay? And you can talk about anything you want to. You want to talk about gardening, I don't care. You want to talk about water pumps, I don't care. I don't want to hear any of this crappy liberal crap. The left has the mainstream media carrying water and covering for them. They don't need this platform to help them out. We need this platform to be reserved for people who actually like this country. Just saying. All right, until next time, I'm John Jeffers. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Have a good one. Be safe. Be vigilant. Be alert. Three things. You can do it. All right, until then, have a good one. See you next week.
You're locked on to the Contra Radio Network.